Could you all turn to Mark chapter 13, please? Mark chapter 13. When it comes to the news, we're sort of watching, aren't we? What are we watching for? You see, we're watching for the return of the Master. That's what we're actually watching for. And if you turn to Mark 13, verse 32, we are told, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels that are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father." So nobody knows the exact time. Take you heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch you therefore, for you know not when the master of the house comes, at even or at midnight, at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to you all, watch. Now, when the disciples asked Christ, they're just not going to turn there because you know the scripture backwards. When the disciples went to Christ and they said, "Well, tell us, what's going to be, what are we watching for?" He didn't say, "Get your calculator out, and then you count so many thousand days from there, and you take so many thousand days off, and then you add a third of the time between your uncle and your auntie's birthday, and you'll come up with a date." Because if some of the dates you see on the internet are to be believed, they're atrocious. And they're all wrong. Because Christ gave them events to look for. That's the key. They were told to watch events, not dates. Now, we can watch in two ways. We can look at events in the Bible and see what God has actually done in the past. These are news events. Can you imagine the headlines after Noah's flood? The problem was it would be kind of a limited audience, a very small circulation of the newspaper. What about the Exodus? You can imagine the headlines going around there. If they had an internet back then and around the world, it would have been quite something. But we can also now watch the news events, and we can actually see end time prophecies being fulfilled. And as a matter of interest, on a daily basis. And what I've actually done here, I've just gone through what we put up on the church website in the last 2 or 3 weeks. Now, I must admit, I have cherry-picked a little bit. But for every article I'm reading out, there's probably 2 or 3 more on the same subject. Now, one of the biggest events that happened in the last 100 years, sounds funny saying the previous century, doesn't it, still? We had this thing with Germany. I know it's been mentioned several times, but when you think about it, that looked just as impossible. The reunification of Germany, the crashing down of the Berlin Wall, and not just that, the freeing up of those Eastern European nations, the Bulgaria, Romania, and so on, Hungary. Free, as Mr. Armstrong always intimated, he felt because of the two legs of the great image back in Nebuchadnezzar's time, it would be 5 nations from the eastern part, 5 nations from the western part. That can only be possible if those eastern nations were free. And the whole thing happened over a weekend. It was totally stunning. So let's look at the recent news events. I've just got these headlines and little comments on them as we go along. EU set for bruising G20 encounter with the US. Now that's come and gone. And what actually happened? Well, there was a lot of hugging and photographs taken together with everybody smiling. And America bulldozing a program through where they're going to produce another... You can forget how much money it is now. It's just a few more shiploads of the stuff to try and get the economy going. And if you look in the update this week, you'll see that most of that money, instead of being loaned out to the people in the economy to get the economy going, the banks are buying up with that money, which they've taken from the taxpayer, they are buying up all the toxic debt, all the bad debt, because they know that eventually the government's going to have to buy that bad debt and they can make a profit on it. The words wicked and evil, quite simply, are not strong enough for these men. And the amazing thing is, they're allowed to do it. The Constitution of the United States states quite clearly that the money supply is to be controlled by the government. It's not It's controlled by the Federal Reserve Bank, which is a private business. And it's run by a bunch of European Jews. And it's interesting to note that but that's one of the reasons Hitler attacked the Jews so vehemently before the war. Because as he said, 90% of all the money in the world was controlled by this small group of men. And he set out to break that. And it's interesting, we still have the same situation today. Could it be it's going down the same road? We'll have to see, we'll have to watch. And then you get one or two sane voices in the background. The governor of South Carolina evoked Zimbabwe in arguments against the stimulus. He said, the United States faces a Zimbabwe-style economic collapse if it keeps spending a bunch of money it we don't have. A silly man. You go and just print some more. You've got to keep a straight face and a sense of humour when you're going through this stuff, because some of it's unbelievable. Mr. Armstrong said that the financial collapse at the end would be the setting for the rise of the Assyrian, the beast. And here we have in Austria, the far right is on the march again. In Austria's recent general election, nearly 30% of the voters backed extremist right-wing parties. That's stunning. When Hitler came to power, he had 33% of the vote. The interesting thing is, at the moment, there doesn't seem to be any figure that we can look at and say, that could be the man. It's almost as if the whole thing's in limbo. This man is going to burst onto the scene, and he's going to do it quite suddenly. The chances are he will appear to have the answer to all the economic problems. Hence the 10 nations or 10 groups or 10 kings give their power to him as being the only hope of sorting the mess out. We have another article, water scarcity, now bigger threat than financial crisis. This is a big conference that was very little on it in the national press. It was a huge conference they had in Istanbul in Turkey. It says humanity is facing water bankruptcy as a result of a crisis even greater than the financial meltdown now destabilizing the global economy, two authoritative new reports show. They add that it is already beginning to take effect and there will be no way of bailing the earth out of a water scarcity. More and more people, more and more industry. I forget the exact figures, but there were some figures published a while back that showed how many tons of water were required to produce like 1 ton of steel, 1 ton of plastic and so forth. And the numbers are mind-boggling. They truly are. And you see, this is an end-time problem. Amos 4, you can just make a note of it. In Amos 4, God says what's going to happen. And he's quite clear about it. He says, I'll send rain on one city and I'll withhold it from the next. He says, you'll go from one city to the other to get water. This is happening today in America. The most advanced nation on the face of the earth, they are doing this right now. There are states at each other's throats because the one's drawing water from a dam that the other one claims should be in its territory, going back to an argument back in 18-whatever. So you have the rain and you have drought. And Amos goes on, he calls it blasting and mildew. You're either bone dry or you've got black mould all over the place as a result of flooding. And isn't that in the news all the time now? Tremendous floods in the States. And now we've had prayer requests this week. We've got members in an area where there's fires breaking out all over because everything is tinder dry because there's been no rain. The total drought only comes after Revelation 11:6 when the two witnesses come. They're the ones that can shut off the rain totally for 3.5 years. Going on to the next headline, Barack Obama will back a federal Europe. That's great, isn't it? The Americans are giving a backing to the power that will eventually take Britain and America into captivity. The same thing happened back in the late 30s, and America was supplying scrap metal to Japan by the shipload, making a fortune out of it. Only to get it thrown back at them with a few high explosives stuck in the middle of it a few years later. Ex-US envoy Bolton says Obama is bad news for Israel. And we see a lot of this coming up in the news. Mr. Bolton says the Obama government's thinking that Arab-Israeli peace is the key to Mideast stability is bad news for Israel and for America, and for America, former United States Ambassador to the United Nations John Bolton wrote in the New York Post. And following that, signs of Obama-Clinton pressure on Israel, the United States continues to drop hints that we'll accept nothing less than a Palestinian state, aside Israel west of the Jordan River, considered a dangerous option by many experts. They want two states, and Israel is totally against it, added to which Israel has just elected an extremely right-wing government, which is totally against it. So you're going to get a whole lot of politicking here now, and it's going to go on and on and on like it has done since 1948. We know that Europe is going to fall apart, because out of that mess is going to rise this 10-nation or whatever group. And nobody's wanted to talk about Europe. But there's an article here that says the euro is coming under severe pressure. Now even the Prime Minister of Luxembourg and President of the Euro Group, Jean-Claude Juncker, and Karl Otto Pohl, former chief of the Bundesbank, fear that the euro may be in danger. And the reason for that is that you're mixing up countries that have got really strong, powerful economies, like Germany and France, with countries that have got shockingly poor economies, such as Portugal, Greece and Italy. And they're all trying to work on the same currency? As one man once said, economic union will only work if you have political union. What they did was they went to the monetary union first as a smokescreen tied into trade to deceive people and then trying to force their way through into a political union, which hasn't yet worked. But they're still trying it. Mr. Armstrong warned of terrible trade wars between Europe and America. Will US stimulus trigger a trade war? The massive economic stimulus package being debated in the US Senate this week has a hugely controversial condition attached. It is called Buy American, and it means that all the projects financed by the government's $800 billion bailout should favour American iron and steel. There's two ways of looking at that. The common sense way says, is it crazy when we're bailing out our nation's mess to buy the steel from China, transport it all the way around the world, and it's probably inferior steel as well. Why can't we just make it ourselves and give our people jobs and get that money going into the economy? But now they're stymied because they're appearing now to go into a protectionist mode, which is exactly what America did in the 1930s. It's one of these situations that doesn't seem to be any way out of it. And here's the one, the Lulu, I think I mentioned this the other day. Russian leader Vladimir Putin warns US of dangers of socialism. I mean, who would have ever dreamt of reading this? This was at the Davos meeting in Switzerland a few weeks ago. Who could possibly have predicted this a few years ago? The Kremlin singing praises for free enterprise and warning the US about the dangers of socialism. Yet that's exactly what happened in January at the annual World Economic Forum in the Swiss city of Davos. What was it we've been talking about? A collective madness that has taken over the world. It doesn't matter in what of these spheres you're looking at. It's just happening. Trade barriers rise as the recession grips tighter. Protectionism is on the march. We look at the morality of our country here. Schoolgirls as young as 11 ask for the morning after pill by simply getting on their mobile phone and sending a text to the school nurse. Mum and Dad know nothing what's going on. And I believe from the age of 14, they're quite capable of getting an abortion without mum and dad knowing either. So who's bringing up our kids, us or the government? Well, the answer seems pretty obvious. Britain may have to seek IMF rescue. We're in such a mess, we might have to go to the International Monetary Fund to borrow a few hundred billions to pay our way. After we had the bonds issue that was issued and not bought up. Nobody wants to even buy our debt anymore. EU says our naval bases should be controlled by Brussels. You see, this is this group in Brussels who are not elected. Let's get this straight. The Commission is not an elected body. It is a dictatorship right now. It is a dictatorship. All these laws come out of this Commission. The European Parliament's a sham. It's just a rubber stamp. And they say Britain's naval bases around the world should be put under the control of Brussels. According to a report commissioned by the European Union, it says military facilities in the Falkland Islands, Gibraltar and Cyprus should become part of the EU forward presence to help safeguard Europe's trade routes. We come back to trade again. And then we have the absolute stupidity in America where Big Brother's invading the back garden. This is really a lulu, isn't it? Home gardens to be regulated under government control. Big Brother legislation could mean prosecution, fines of up to $1 million. Some small farms and organic food growers could be placed under direct supervision of the federal government under new legislation making its way through Congress. It's all done under the guise of protecting the food supply. They even want to control now, the government even wants to control if you grow Brussels sprouts or cabbages or whatever in your own back garden. Even if it's for your own consumption. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And then the real humdinger from the United Nations. US UN chief says crisis could result in failed states. UN chief Ban Ki-moon warned that failing to act to halt the global economic crisis could lead to widespread social unrest and failed states. He says what began as a financial crisis has become a global economic crisis, the UN Secretary General wrote in an article in the Guardian newspaper. But you see, what the UN is trying to do and what a lot of other states, big states, are trying to do, they're trying to give the UN more authority. They're trying to give the International Monetary Fund more authority. Because underpinning all of mankind is this desire for world government. Now, they're not going to get it. But that's always what Satan's wanted. Right back in the early days in Babylon, Tower of Babel. They wanted to be there. They wanted to be together. They wanted the whole thing to be controlled. Because when you get everybody together, it's easy to control one mass of people. It's not so easy when they're all separate. So that's what they want. So as we watch the news, and we're doing our best now to get as much of this into the news as we can, and into the update articles, the one this week is a total expose of what's behind the financial crisis. It names names. And if you think I'm joking about the Federal Reserve Bank, check who's who in the American financial area. They all come through Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs ends up being controlled by, in the background, a certain Mr. Rockefeller and company, and it's all the same people all the time. The man who created the mess by taking off the restraints in the American financial system is now running the very department that is set up to sort the problem out. That's like, as it says in the article, it's like getting an arsonist to come round and put the fire out that he created in your own house. Again, we have this madness. And we have to be prepared for anything coming up in the news. Nothing is going to be too strange as this whole society literally falls apart round its own ears. In conclusion, turn with me to Psalm 66. It always amazes me that to get the answers to so many of these problems, you've got to go back to something that was written 2,000, 3,000, in this case 3,000 or thereabouts years ago. Psalm 66. This is King David. Now, King David was a king, obviously. He governed, he ruled over a fairly large area, a fairly prosperous kingdom, when you work out that he managed to lay up store to build the temple of God. I believe we were running into billions of dollars in today's money, and that's today, but tomorrow it would probably be trillions. And the day after that, it'll be, what's the next one after that? Quadrillions. And then we do a Zimbabwe, we knock 15 zeros off, and that brings it back to billions again. Incidentally, I saw recently that in actual fact, over the last very short period of time, the pound effectively has been devalued by between 30 and 50% on the world stage. The dollar, a dollar today, would have been worth, today's value in dollar, $1, back in 1913 when all this mess started with the Fed being set up, would be worth 5 cents. Well, 5 cents then would be buying the same as a dollar would today. It's practically worthless. There's one item I see my cutting and pasting, cut and pasted somewhere else. It's a very interesting question. It says, is there any gold left in Fort Knox? Have you saw that article in the news? It's a very short article. And all it said was, there has been no official audit, recorded official audit of the gold in Fort Knox for over 50 years. since President Eisenhower was in power. Nobody independent of the Federal Reserve Bank has gone in and counted all the blocks. As far as we know, that place could be totally empty. And I rather suspect that's probably what's happened. Because America has been selling gold over the last few years to keep the gold price down, because when the gold price goes down, the dollar goes up. Have you not seen it happen? We have this great crisis and the dollar goes a little bit and psst, goes right back up again. You can see the graphs. It goes down and up. But every time it goes up, it's a little bit further down than it was at the previous peak. It's a little and down, a little. All because of the, and this is what they think the Americans have been doing. But nobody can prove it because nobody can get in there to do an audit. Because it's all protected by US troops. King David. This is what we are doing when we watch the news. Right? We can look back in history. We can see God, through Noah, destroying all of mankind because it had just gone over the top. He brought Noah and his family through. We can see at the Exodus, he did the same thing. He took that nation, he trashed the biggest country in the face of the earth, took his people through a tremendous series of miracles out of there. We now have today prophecies that talk about Mr. Armstrong, that Mr. Armstrong was allowed to put down words that Christ gave to him, talking about a worldwide financial crisis, talking about terrible trade wars, talking about the rise of Nazism. And these were written 40 odd years ago, when I first went to college in the mid-60s. Now they're coming to pass. Every week you read, this is only in the last 2 or 3 weeks these articles I've taken out of. So when we look at the news, bear in mind what you're doing. You are following what Christ is doing to bring God's plan to fruition. We have the framework of prophecy, and what we're doing when we watch the news, we're just filling in all the blocks as we go on. We can see where we are. We're watching the events. We're watching the birth pangs. We've had one. It just eased off after this latest financial meeting because, oh, we just printed another $12 trillion or whatever it was. And it'll go on now until September, perhaps when they have a meeting in Japan, and then it'll die down again. And then in January, it'll come up and it'll be far worse. Maybe that'll be the big bang. Who knows? We don't know. But we've got to watch these events because they all tie in to the outline of prophecy that was given by God to Mr. Armstrong. And so far, guess what? It's dead right. It's absolutely dead right. King David wraps it up in Psalm 66, verse 5. He says, come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doings towards the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through on the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. You see, King David was looking back. Looking back to where? Looking back to what we're celebrating today, this time of the year. When Israel was taken out, this was a monumental event. When God says, I will take you, I am the God that take you out of the land of Egypt, it's mentioned hundreds of times throughout Scripture. Right the way, I think the last time it's mentioned in Jude. It was such a great event. He turned the sea to dry land and they went through the flood on foot. Verse 7, he rules by his power forever. If you remember the end of the book of Job, when Job finally was humbled and sorted out by God, what did he say? Now I know that no plan of yours can be withholden from you, in the King James. What it means in modern day English, it says, now I know your plan cannot be thwarted. That's the meaning of that scripture. It's quite clear when you read it. And that's the thing we've all got to learn. That's probably why we are here and a lot of other people aren't. Because perhaps this is what we're believing in. This is perhaps one of the things we've been hanging on to without even realizing it. God is in total control. He will fulfill his plan. Let's remember then, when we're watching the news, we're watching the works of God, we're also watching the plan of God unfold before us.